Good day. Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Pulpit again. Some of you listen day by day. Every day you tune in. You don't know how much that means to me. I'm serious. What a blessing. I don't know if you listen to this on the website and listen to it and catch up sometimes. We've got them all at WZYN.org. I don't know if you listen live at 12:30 as it airs on WZYN.org and AM 810 in Valdosta, Georgia. But some of you listen and you hear the Word of God day by day. You know, that means the world to me. Some of you are working and you're going from place to place. Some of you are maybe in a nursing home. Maybe you're traveling a lot. I don't know what it looks like to you, but you listen every day. And that's a tremendous blessing to me. And I hope that we can be a blessing to you. Now, I'd encourage you, and I would invite you to send me a letter at the Shepherd's Pulpit, 3307 Bemis Road, Valdosta, Georgia, 31605. I'd love to receive a letter and send you back something by way of correspondence. You're a big blessing to me, and I'm honored and humbled that I could be your radio teacher during this time slot here on WZYN. We're talking about living with one eye on eternity. I'm concerned that so many quote-unquote Christians are so worldly. The things of God are second, and God's getting our leftovers. That's disturbing to me. I don't want it to be that way in my life, and God judge me if it's that case. But you have to ask yourself the question, is the things of God second? Is God getting my leftovers? I believe if we live with one eye on eternity, I believe our lives would be different. I believe if our heart was on the second coming, that Jesus could come at any moment, I believe that our decisions would be different, our days would be different, our affections would be different. Don't you agree with that? Well, that's what Paul's talking about here. He says here in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 5, let's get our bearings together here. I never gave you the text. My apologies. We're in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 9. He said, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." What's that mean? Well, in context, he's talking about being present with the Lord, meaning by that, Jesus comes back and we're with Him just like that. In a twinkling of an eye, we could be with the Lord. But whether present or absent down here on this earth, we're living to be accepted of Him. What he says by that statement, it doesn't really matter. Earth or heaven, we're to please Him. On the ground or in the sky, we may be accepted of Him. Wherefore we labor. We labor. That's in verse 9, chapter 5, verse 9, we labor. That word labor means to be motivated, to be ambitious, to strive earnestly, to make something for your goal. Paul's not expressing an ambition to be successful or famous. He's saying, I esteem it a great high honor to just try to make my Savior to smile. I want to please Him. That's a highest honor, is to just please the Lord as His servant. God wants us to have an attitude and have an ambition of glorifying and pleasing Him. Should be our greatest desire to hear Him one day say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that's going to take labor. Labor. Not just labor like going out and digging a hole. I'm talking about labor. That's a striving that's in us. He's not called us to be successful or called us to be number one. He's called us to be faithful. He's not called us to perform. He's called us to be faithful. Get the particulars out of the way and just make faithfulness the goal. Wherefore it is required among stewards that a man be found faithful. The desire to please the Lord will help you live with one eye on eternity. And you'll see Him in the day-to-day. You'll see him on Monday morning because you're trying to please him, and on Tuesday and every day, just not Sunday. You're living with eternity's values in view. You'll ask yourself, how do I please the Lord? We have to labor to please the Lord. Isn't that what the Bible says? It does in verse 9. We labor that whether present, absent, we may be accepted of Him. Accepted of Him. Because one day we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're all going to stand before the Lord. We have an inevitable meeting with Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that on the next broadcast. But pleasing the Lord with your life, we labor to be accepted of Him. Just a few things. One, you can't get entangled with the world. You can't get entangled with the world. You're not going to be able to please Him who has chosen you to be a soldier if you entangle with yourself with the affairs of this life. 2 Timothy 2:3. I see people trying to please the Lord, trying to be a good Christian, and they're trying to be something for the world and be something for the church. Can't do it. You cannot not serve God and mammon. You can't be entangled with the world. If you're going to please the Lord, you've got to have faith. Whatsoever not is faith is sin. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. You've got to live by faith. You've got to trust the Lord. If you're going to please the Lord, you've got to sacrifice. To do good and to communicate, forget not, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. You've got to sacrifice. And in that sacrifice, God is well pleased. You've got to walk with God daily. It's not a Sunday thing, it's a daily thing. That's how you please the Lord. Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. What was Enoch known for? Enoch was known for walking with God, and he was not, for God took him. How are you going to please the Lord? You're going to walk with Him every day. Have a testimony that you walk with God. I don't know of a greater thing you can say of any sister or brother in Christ, but to say of them, oh, well, they walk with God. They walk with God. That's our number one duty. There's so many things I'd like to say here, ways you can please the Lord. But I want to mention one other, and then we'll be done. There's so many here I'd like to mention. But in 1 Thessalonians 4:1, it says, brethren, I exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received us, how you ought to walk and to please God and abound more and more. Meaning by that, it's the duty of every Christian to walk and to please God, but you've got to abound in it more and more. You can't set yourself up for failure by being satisfied with what you've already done. Jesus is going to come back. Everything's set up. The stage has been set. There's nothing to be happening, nothing to happen except Him come. The day of His appearing is very, very near. Redemption draweth nigh. Creation groaneth and is in travail for that day. Jesus is coming. And whether we are in His presence or absent from Him on this earth, it ought to be our goal. We ought to labor. We ought to be ambitious about being accepted of Him, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You want to know what the heart of the Father is right now? The heart of the Father for every human being is that in all things, Christ might have the preeminence. Let's labor. Let us labor, whether present or absent, to be accepted of Jesus Christ.